Hello, everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, a show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. She's Nicole Booz. I'm Joey Groh, and this week we are talking about, boy, productivity and parenting. What's the way to say it? Making comics and making parenting? Making comics and making kids? It is a big topic.
Yeah, it's a huge topic, so I don't think we're going to be able to expect to address every possible angle of this topic in one podcast. Unless you want to try, Joey, go for it.
Let's sum it all up.
Yeah, I think we're going to try to narrow it down to some of what we've learned from our own personal experiences in the hope that whoever's listening can run with some of that and see what might be helpful or applicable to their own situation, and then talk about sort of just what has been helpful to us, basically, and the considerations and topics and issues that go along with the combination of working on comics and being a parent and possibly with being a freelancer in combination, all with one another.
All in combination, because that's not enough to juggle. And so far, there aren't robot nannies.
Yeah, there you go.
So if there's got to be other ways to figure it out, especially if you don't have maybe relatives nearby, and you know, childcare costs, or maybe you've got some childcare solutions and it's part of a day, or even then, even if your kid's in school and you're trying to make comics in addition to working full time or being a stay-at-home parent, there's lots of different scenarios related to making comics and having kids. And you know, before we started recording, I'd mentioned that I will sometimes go to the college I graduated from, the university I graduated from, as part of an alumni day and talk to students. And invariably, people will have questions about careers and want to figure out, how do I make time to, you know, have a life, to have a spouse, or if you want to have kids, and balance all of that. And to a lot of them, I think they like hearing your stories of, well, this is how we do it. It's the only way we know how to do it, and we're doing
right.
And because it gives them some amount of comfort, because I think there's some, you know, there's anxiety related to a lot of things leaving college. But I think, like anything, if your endeavor is, I'm going to try to make comics, the amount of time that you're putting into it, from writing to art to coloring, lettering, editing, to get to a point where you're going to start trying to do that takes time, and to obviously improve takes time. And then if you're self-publishing, you're crowdfunding, working with a publisher, you know, all that swirl, at the end of the day, you're talking about, you know, talent, drive, and hours, skills,
yes,
all swirling into, oh yeah, we also have kids, and figuring out the best way to balance all that. And for you,
yeah,
you we also talked before we started recording, you were working at Marvel, at least I know, when you had your second child. You have two kids, and you said your daughter came at your time at Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. So my years at Marvel were from 2003 to 2008. My daughter was, or maybe 2009, maybe beginning of 2009. My daughter was born in summer of 2008. So in my situation, I had a planned maternity leave. I took time off for that. And then I did return to Marvel after the maternity leave, but I did it on a combination of a part-time schedule in the office combined with some working at home and some sort of project-based assignments. And eventually I stepped down from being formally an employee of at Marvel, but because of my relationships there, I continued to do some work with them as a freelancer. And from that, I kind of sort of cobbled together a sort of post-formal employment freelance career for myself in my own very individual way. So yeah, like you were saying, I mean, there are as many ways to be a parent as there are parents. There are as many ways to be a comics person as there are comics people. And I think we all have things in common, and we all have things that are specific to our own situation. So I guess, you know, for us to talk a little bit about what has been useful for us.
Yeah, and I'd also mention that the comic that I kickstarted a couple years ago, I was writing the back half of it the week after my daughter was born and had some work circumstances for projects that I was delivering with my production company where clients wanted to move up by a few weeks, and I couldn't say no at the time because of what the projects were. So I ended up finishing writing a comic with, you know, a kid that was around for 7 weeks, and my wife was off on maternity leave too. It was just that balance of, I thought I was going to have a week or two of paternity leave and did not, trying to get a comic done on top of all the other work that I was trying to get done really made me rethink a lot of comic goals at the time, and also, you know, how made me rethink a lot of things, but it also made me rethink prioritization of trying to do what when, and just kind of that work-life balance. And maybe that's what it boils down to, because obviously there's some folks in the industry where comics is their sole source of income. That's what they do, is they make comics, and that can scale from the top tier from a Marvel DC to somebody who's a freelance person that's writing 5 titles a month or doing 2 or 3 indie books a month, whatever they are. You know, you're putting it together through comics. But I think a lot of people who listen to Make Comics, the Make Comics podcast, and just in general, you're balancing a bunch of other stuff, and you likely have a day job, you know, on top of it all. And, you know, we talked also about imposter syndrome and some of the topic that we've talked about recently, specifically with Jim Gibbons, about comparing yourself to others and looking at where other people are in their careers and trying not to do that, and having that seep into how you're also looking at your own making comics life, because it can, you know, it can get hard when you're writing at night or drawing at night after you've had a day job, after you've had family time, and it's 9 o'clock and you go, all right, I'm going to do some comics for the next 3 hours. And
two things I want to address from that. One thing is that this is actually something that we talk a lot about on the Creators Workshop. We have a lot of threads going that are related to time management, productivity, imposter syndrome, managing your time in a way where you feel like you're allotting your resources appropriately and not taking away too much from the people who are most important to you.
Yeah.
People are important to you in multiple categories. You know, your coworkers are important to you, and you don't want to let them down, or your team members. But you know, obviously, your family is important and most immediate and takes precedence for a lot of people. So. So that's one thing. And you know, I do want to stress that this is a topic that it's something that everybody struggles with, regardless of where they are in their career. And it's something that we do try to share resources and tips about on the workshop. And we might be able to talk about it in a more in-depth and nuanced way than you and I can get into in, you know, a 15 to 20 minute podcast.
Right.
But another thing that I wanted to sort of throw back at you, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was, during that really stressful time when you were expecting to be able to take time off for the birth of your child, and then it turned out that you couldn't, you mentioned something that stuck out to me. You said they were projects that you couldn't say no to. So I am just curious, if you don't mind answering this, has anything changed since you've become a dad in choosing your projects or thinking a bit differently about the kinds of projects that you take? Do you find yourself taking fewer projects that you don't have the option to say no to? Because I find that I have come to think of those things a little bit differently myself. And I'd be curious to hear what you or what other people think about that too.
No, I have. And I think a lot of it was what happened at the time. It was kind of a special circumstance because of some transition that was happening with the way that I do business. So it was a few things that were related to actual like dollars and cents. In the big picture too, though, it was clients that were repeat clients that were not for me, but for what they do, multi-million dollar, you know, organizations or businesses that were great clients that I had great relationships with. And, you know, they were all and I don't want to paint it as, oh, poor me, backed into a corner. The people that I worked with were understanding and also parents. So they got it. And it was a lot of like, hey, we, you know, if we can do this, we really like to do it. It wouldn't have been in the end of the world, I think, if I had said, hey, you know what, we got to delay this by 2 weeks. But at the same time, we couldn't delay it by 2 weeks. It was one of those situations. So, yeah, big picture, it's really changed up a lot of what I did. And in some ways, this is not necessarily applicable to comics because I built up how I work with folks that could do subcontracting work to be able to take on stuff, which also, you know, at that point means my net income changes. So there's trade-offs. If the project is, you know, yielding a certain dollar amount that it needs to yield to me versus I'm, you know, acting as a pass-through on the back half of the project to get it done or however it plays. So yeah, the first year was a lot of learning. The first year with my daughter in terms of how to balance our lives and how to think about what we had going on and balance projects. And in those, no pun intended, growing pains, it forced me to think about every aspect of my life and how I spent time doing what. But on like my day job front, it forced me to not raise my rates, but only take projects that hit a certain dollar threshold. So it turned out to be great in the end of the day because it forced me to talk and think a little bit differently when talking to potential clients or existing clients. And all that kind of rolled into where I am now, which is seemingly a good spot for everything. And, you know, I'm frankly at a point where I can spend some money on developing comics again from putting together a creative team, if I'm going to be paying for art and color and letters, but also just the hard cost of, you know, am I going to show up to New York Comic Con with some printed copies of something versus, hey, it's on my iPad or hey, the abstract. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't always need to hand someone your comic, but I have experienced it multiple times in person, and I'm sure you've, from the other end, experienced it too. When somebody hands you a comic at a thing, it's a different impression. So,
right.
Being able to get to that point of thinking, oh, I can spend, you know, X amount if I think I'm going to see Y return, has been significant, and that, you know, that also boils into, well, I guess the whole parenting thing. I don't know if that was an answer, the answer that you thought it could be, but that's that generally is how it kind of changed my perspective on things.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense, and it also prompts me to think about how that applies to my own experiences, but in a different way. I think, you know, for you, it sort of caused you to think more strategically about what projects you would accept based on the income that you could gain within the time frame that you had available, basically. Am I getting that right? Yeah.
Right.
And for me it was similar. You know, once I became a parent, my career changed in the sense that I started working more on a project by project basis and on a freelance basis. Hmm. But for me it was basically the same kind of scenario where, you know, I would maybe be approached about taking on a particular project and I would try my best to think ahead to, well, you know, the best case scenario is that I would be able to devote this much time to this project. The worst case scenario is that I would be able to devote much less time. What is this project actually going to require from me?
Right.
And do I have it in me to give that? And when I say, do I have it in me, a lot of that didn't just come down to number of hours. It came down to an emotional reserve, to be quite honest. You know, if I know that I need to give this much of myself to my kids and my family, you know, based on what's right for me, which is not to say it's, you know, universal for everybody, but thinking about what I need to put forth in terms of my mental energy for one set of responsibilities, what do I have left to commit to professional responsibilities. And that too has led me to think more more honestly and more strategically,
right,
about what I can and cannot take on.
I think,
So,
yeah, that
yeah.
you said honestly, and I think that that is something that I probably truly didn't get until my daughter was born. You get those little ticks as you go. If you can get into a relationship, you get, different projects, you start seeing your limitations, you start, figuring out, oh, here's what I need to do if I want to not only continue to work, but also continue to grow in what I'm trying to do or challenge yourself. But it's that honest assessment of, well, I could probably do this. Oh, I think I can handle this. And it's not even necessarily creative, tasks. It's not even necessarily the output of here's a new story idea and a pitch. It's the physicality of, am I going to have enough hours in the day on top of everything else? Was one of those funny ones for me, where I was like, it's 10 o'clock, you need to go to bed. It's 11 o'clock, you need to go to bed. And understanding that balance and really being honest and upfront about assessing what the goals are and should be. And we sometimes talk about who the audience is for this, and is it folks that are working at a Marvel in DC, or that's their goal to work at a Marvel in DC, and everybody on down to where they want to get a deal at Image, they want to just be a freelancer, they want to put out their own thing by crowdfunding, and I think that is a yes, across the board. It's people that want to make comics, and it can vary in what those goals are, but I feel like for me, it really forced a lot of what I was working towards, and where I thought I was gaining traction to go, hey man, this is what your life needs to be right now if you're gonna, go in this direction of your life, and that's also not thinking about these kinds of comic goals. You need to scale back. You need to be realistic about it, which, was not a bitter pill in the sense of like, oh, look at what all I gotta swallow. It just meant I needed to reprioritize what I was doing with my time and how, which, again, maybe it's because you go through it and you come out the other side and you're like, yeah, it was fine. I reduced my time, trying to do X, Y, and Z. But I really do feel like it forced me to think about things in a way that has a more positive outcome, where like you said, you're being strategic and you're being focused about what you're trying to do. And I think I was a little more scattershot, or a lot more scattershot, with how I was trying to think about it. So to have specific goals to hone in on and go to that specific goal, it does take a lot of time, and that's okay, because if you're working towards that goal and devoting that time to it, it seems like the likelihood of the outcome is going to be more positive or more probable.
Yeah, exactly. So you might be sort of scaling back on the magnitude of your goals, but at the same time, you're able to really focus on the ones that are most important to you once you've identified what they are, and then to really be able to devote your resources to them, once you've made those kinds of decisions. So yeah, this brings up a lot of points. Now, one of the things that you were saying made me want to bring up a concept that was really kind of game changing for me, which is that we live in such a goal oriented and achievement driven culture. At some point after becoming a parent, it occurred to me that your value as a person is not measured by your productivity. And that kind of went against everything that the culture I lived in had taught me to believe.
Right.
But once I was able to sort of think of things in that way, I was able to sort of calm down a little bit and think more about, recognizing the value of what I was doing for exactly what it was, rather than, as something quantifiable and something to, evaluate my worth as a person against. And now we're getting into a sort of a more, I guess, philosophical aspect, but that was an important thing for me to keep in mind, was not to really value myself based on how much I was producing or how much I was accomplishing in a given day, especially first becoming a parent, because we both know those newborn days and newborn months can be really rough. I don't know about you, but it can be physically, emotionally, and mentally really draining.
Right.
And but at the end of the day, if you're talking to someone and they say, so what did you do today? Well, you know, I took a nap and a shower. You know, it's like you don't have something tangible to show for it. And that can be really, really difficult to go from this really achievement-oriented, have something to show for yourself kind of professional culture to this life where you feel like you need to prove something and you're not sure what you have to show for yourself other than the fact that you're keeping a human being alive,
right,
which is, you know, pretty awesome in itself. But it doesn't manifest itself in the kind of, you know, quantifiable material way that that professional life does, I guess. And so that's kind of something that took a little while for me to reconcile as a new parent. But now I'm totally cool with it, you know. Now I'm a little bit more comfortable navigating, you know, the personal and professional, and just doing exactly what you said, just identifying what the goals are and then what, you know, of those goals, looking at the logistics of it and thinking about what is actually feasible to achieve. And then once you've done that, you can actually make a plan to achieve it.
I laugh because I identify so much with the shower goal, where it's like, I took a shower. I didn't eat a cheeseburger at 3 a.m. I feel like I've done a lot. It was a struggle to not eat at weird hours. Well, that is a great way to kind of put it all out there, because it is the kind of that comparison trap, and that your priority shift and your goal shift and making that relevant is such kind of a great way to think about it, to where you can let some things go. And I guess that's just the wisdom of experience and time and coming out the other side going, yeah, you know what, this is what's important and this is what I can do. And at the end of the day, it's still a lot and still pretty great, but it is hard when you're in that moment going, I got nothing to show for today. I got nothing to show for this week.
Yeah.
What are we going to do? What have I? And you do start to feel a little bit of watching everything else accelerate past you. And
yes. Yeah. So one piece of advice maybe we could, I would take out of that for people listening, whether they're new, whether they're starting out or thinking about starting out in working in comics, or being new parents or thinking about having a family, is that, what was I going to say? Is that just being kind to yourself and not necessarily trying to do everything at once. You know, start small, identify your goals, and do math. Think about what you can achieve with the resources that you have at your disposal, rather than basing your goals on resources that you don't have right now or that you don't have yet.
I think the way that you'd also broken it out in your show notes were expecting your productivity to change. Don't equate your value with productivity. We sort of just covered that, but the math about changing stuff up and knowing that it will just adjust over time and adjust how you're doing what you're going to do to achieve them. And so much about, I think, any career is being flexible, but I feel like even with the, not luxury, but even with the experience of your time changes in your life with a kid and how your productivity changes, you can start to have insight and hindsight to go, oh, this is how I should be thinking about the future and thinking about how to change the goals. And it forces you to be flexible. I feel like so much of parenting is figuring out a couple of basic, you know, fundamental ways of thinking about, well, here's my kid, what are we going to do? You know, especially like you said, with a newborn or that first year of having a child, like, what are your goals? How do you do? Well, I got to keep the kid alive. I got to feed the kid. The kid needs to eat. And then you start getting into kind of the more esoteric, like, long-term planning and thinking about, you know, are we saving for college or should my kid be watching TV? When should my kid be watching TV? Can I take my kid to a concert? What should I, all those things related to your kid being part of your life and living your lives together, it just boils down to being flexible. We had a labor and delivery nurse that we did a tour of our hospital where my wife delivered, and the woman who talked about the labor and delivery stuff, the way that she summed it up was just, you're giving yourself to the universe. And I thought that,
yeah,
I thought that that was an apt way to put it, where you're just kind of giving over to what happens and knowing, like, and it really is a mental switch, or at least it was for me, for somebody who was happy to start work at, you know, 6, 7 a.m. and just, you know, blaze through that morning, and then the afternoon's easy because I got all this bonus time because I've, you know, worked really hard till 11 or 12, and now, nope. It's just, it's not like that anymore. And I, just the physical adjustments that you have to make, and the having the mentality of, I got to be flexible. I think as much as you define what you want your career to be, or what your comics goals are, there's got to be some flexibility and give, where you look at yourself and, you know, it's the comparison trap and not beating up on what you're trying to do, and giving yourself a break to go, it's okay that I'm not writing Batman right now, or here's how I'm going to write Batman. That's probably going to take me a couple years, and maybe it's only a backup story, but that's what my life is going to be. I'm going to work towards that Batman backup story, or drawing that Batman backup story. How do I get there? Okay, well, these are the steps, and it's going to take me 3 years. Let's try it. And then along the way, maybe you make that adjustment and go, oh, I got offered to do this cool indie comic. Oh, I got offered to do this cool comic through Dark Horse. Or, you know, whatever the path is. I think so many comics' paths seem to diverge. in good ways.
As you're saying all of this and talking about the importance and the necessity of being flexible and sort of allowing things to take their course, I think sort of on the flip side of that is that, you know, one of the things that was important for me, and I think you said was important for you after having kids, is the importance of structure. And although you need to have a certain amount of flexibility, knowing that that structure might change, it's really helpful, I think, to impose what structure you can on how you approach your professional work in comics. So, like, we're talking about how things can be different for everybody depending on where they are in their lives and their careers. But one thing that I think we can all do, that everybody can do, is just sort of look at their day-to-day schedule and determine where in there they might be able to find some time to work on the things that they want to work on their comics project. And that applies to whether you have a day job that's in another field and comics is something that you do in whatever free time you can wrangle, or whether you're a career comics person and you just need to schedule your day in a way that's efficient. And I'm thinking back to when I did work at the Marvel office, and I worked with a lot of freelancers who worked at home. A lot of the time I would be making phone calls to artists and writers, and in the background you could hear all the activity that was going on in their home. You could hear their kids, and you could hear their spouses, and you could hear like pots clinging and clanging in the kitchen. I thought, wow, you know, that's gotta be difficult. And then, you know, years later, that was me. But, you know, it reminds me of a conversation that I had with an artist back when I was an editor working out of the office. And he was expressing some frustration because he kind of planned his day around the idea that after he picked up his child from school, he would be able to bring his child home and she would be able to occupy herself quietly for a certain amount of time, whatever amount of time it was, an hour, 2 hours. And we were talking about this, and I said, well, but yeah, but you know, she's five. And not like I have all the answers in this, or like I don't presume to tell somebody else, obviously, how to do their job or to approach their, you know, their home life. But there's only a certain amount we can expect our kids to cooperate with our professional responsibilities. So I do want to point that out. And it took me a little time to arrive at this conclusion myself, is that, you know, even if you are doing your comics pursuits out of your home, you can't necessarily expect your home life to cooperate. And so that's why I think it's really important not to put the onus of responsibility on your kids or your other family members for that. Don't expect them to cooperate and give you quiet time that you need for a certain amount of time, because you're only going to get frustrated when it doesn't work out. And something's always going to happen that puts a monkey wrench into that plan, you know? So I feel like the more you can actually take a good, honest look, there's that word honest again, but take a good, honest look at what your day-to-day life is realistically like. You know, if you can find, you know, an hour in there, maybe it's before your family gets up, or maybe it's after your family goes to bed, or, you know, whatever it is, maybe you can sacrifice like an hour of TV time with your spouse every week, you know, and for some people that's really important. Like, I know that at the end of the day, after my kids go to sleep, I don't have anything left in me other than, you know, to do something relaxing. But right. For other people, that's their most productive time.
Right.
So what I'm trying to get at is that it's going to be different for everybody, but if you can find something, pick out something consistent in your schedule that you can devote to whatever your goal is, comics or, you know, whatever, pick out that time and then make that the time to do that thing, and make it a time that you're not having to rely on somebody else to, you know, to not interfere, you know, because if you've got kids, they're going to need you. It's not really fair to your kids. It's not really fair to yourself or to your kids to expect to be able to work at the computer while they're playing quietly in a different part of the same room.
Right.
That always bugs me is that sometimes you'll see these ads in magazines geared toward women where they're like, work from home, learn to become a billing specialist or something. And then there's always a picture of some woman happily working away at her laptop while there's a baby sitting in her lap. And I'm like, who can even type when there's a baby sitting in your lap? I don't care if you're a comics person or, you know, a CEO, whatever it is that you're doing, there's going to be a maybe for some people that works, but, you know, for me, it's really important to be able to focus on one thing at a time. And, you know, that baby in your lap is going to need your attention far more than the thing on the other side of the screen. So just something to keep in mind is, that, you know, it's helpful if you can find uninterrupted time and space. And if you're not at the point in your life where you can find that uninterrupted time and space, then don't be too hard on yourself about being able to meet your expectations. That's where that flexibility part comes in, I think.
I think so. And I think that's part of that swirl of the comparison trap and looking at where you could be and what you could be doing and wondering the, you know, all the Monday morning quarterbacking of, well, I could have tried to do this. It's a lot of avenues to get comics work out into the world and lots of different ways to get it there. So, you know, it's, and that's another thing we didn't really have as a notes, but talk to your friends that are making comics, when you've made friends with them that might be in a similar situation, or people that have moved further along than, that have kids maybe older than yours, and see how they did it. And I think it's always good to have conversations as parents, and especially as people that, you know, maybe you work a place where you work with other folks during the day, or maybe your job is more by yourself, creative services. But having those conversations, I think, can be really valuable to working parents, at whatever different ages your kids are, to not only see that somebody else is going through it, but also, you know, find out how they manage their time and how they manage to make their stuff work, because a lot of people are doing it and a lot of people are having similar struggles and in similar ways that they're trying to define goals.
Absolutely. I know for me, one thing that was helpful was exactly that. I was friends with another parent who had a child of similar age to mine, and we worked something out where we would just swap play dates, you know. I would watch the kids one day for a few hours, and then she would watch them on a different day for a few hours. And that worked out really well for us because we were able to use that time efficiently, and or maybe we weren't able to use it efficiently, but we always knew that it was going to be there. It was that specific block of time that we would be able to focus on whatever we chose to focus on. And so, you know, it was kind of a luxurious position to be in, to have a friend that I could do that with. But when you're talking about reaching out to other people in a similar situation, if you have that at your disposal, then that's always a great resource. And I feel like if people want to email us at the info@comicsexperience address and ask us about our experiences, or if we ever wanted to expand on this topic, because we could probably go on about it for a long time. But, you know, connect with people and find out what works for them. And sometimes it'll be helpful to you, and sometimes it won't apply to your situation, but it's a lot of trial and error.
I'm laughing because I just remembered what I had to do this morning, which is before I started doing work, I took my daughter to drop her off at preschool, and I had some things to take to the dump, which is not a usual occurrence, but one of those monkey wrenches when you find out that your dog has been sick all night, that you might have to lose a rug. And then in driving to the dump, I realized that we did not bring my daughter's first at-home art project with us during the morning for the drop-off. So I then went back to preschool with the art project that we'd made 2 days prior. So that is my sharing of, look at all my look at all my precious planning. Look at everything that I put together, and this is what shows up. And
that is your monkey wrench of the day.
And you know, that guy 10 years ago, that happens to me 10 years ago, that guy does not necessarily handle that well. But the current version knows that, hey, you know, this is what happens. This is not a thing to get stressed about. This is not being at the ER at, you know, 11 o'clock on a Friday night with a temperature of 105. This is fine. This is okay. You know, it's a ripple in the day of what else could be happening. But at the end of the day, this is what we got. And that's okay, because we will still make comics. We will still make the Make Comics podcast, and we'll also get all the other work done, and maybe our solution is we have burritos tonight. Maybe that's our out. It all turns into a positive.
There you go.
We just get burritos from somewhere. Well, if you have a question, like Nicole mentioned, email info@comicsexperience.com, tweet @comicexperience on Twitter. You can also find Comics Experience on Facebook, and we've gotten some messages over the years. So you can email a question or a topic there, and we'd certainly love to hear from you, especially any parenting tips. We will take those. And I'm sure we could do a follow-up or additional episode about parenting stuff, but I think we've covered some ground. I think it
absolutely.
I think it has at least on its way to preschool. Maybe not quite elementary school yet, but we'll tackle that next time and have give you updates of the first day of the next round of parenting and making comics. Well, Nicole is on Twitter, and that's @NicoleBooz. Any other places folks should look for you, or right now Twitter is the best place to find you?
You can find me on Twitter. You can also email me, Nicole@comicsexperience.com.
Excellent. All right. Well, until next time, keep making comics.